Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father God, that this will be a place where the fullness of Isaiah 61 is seen, Lord. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for a Bethesda-like church community where people are restored, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you do not call us to be perfect, but you call us to be like Christ. And because of Christ, we can grow in that redemptive stories, Lord, that you have for our lives. So even in this place this morning, Father, before we break open your word, I pray for healing and restoration today through your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, the word says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you will touch marriages. Thank you, Lord, that you will touch the people that need that. And then, Lord, we just thank you that there will be great fruit and growth just because you are you. Not because we are anything per se, but because you are you. I pray for areas of growth and fruit for this church that they did not even see coming. And I thank you for that. Thank you, lastly, Lord, for the fear of God today. Lord, my words will float and be feeble, but it's only by your Spirit that it will carry substance. It can lead to faith. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will firstly give me the words and the words that I've prepared. I pray that if it is of you, that it will carry substance that will touch hearts. I pray for the hearts to perceive and the eyes to see and the ears to hear in this place in the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, who likes prophecy? All six of us. Great. Tough crowd. Who likes prophecy? Who's kind of sometimes a bit sensitive or even a bit weary when it comes to prophecy? Also me. Who has seen people being hurt by, let's call it rather, false prophecy? Yes. Okay, great. So I want to just firstly, before I jump into what I believe this word means, I want to say the following to you, and that is in 1 Thessalonians 5:20 to 21, it says, do not despise prophecies. So let's not, even if we're charismatics and we've been in a charismatic environment for 10, 20, 30, maybe even more years, let's not become blasé with something that might be the message of God. And then it goes on to say, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Look to your neighbor and say to them, test everything. There you go. Now we're nice and charismatic. Hallelujah. So here's the thing. Don't just because somebody else said something nice about me believe that this is of the Lord. We need to scripturally, by the Spirit of God, each and every believer, if you're a born-again believer, you have the Spirit of God. You need to discern. And here's the thing, is just jokingly so, but we often in church or when we listen to a fellow preacher, we see something on YouTube or social media that comes from a Christian base, we discern and we test. But yet when it comes to the rapport or the burger or the huisgenoot, we kind of just gobble it up. As Christians, this is a call for us, not only in this season, but in all seasons, to discern. And also to teach our children the responsibility of discernment. Because we're not always there. All right, so I want to just set the stage by saying, hey, the word that I bring, please do discern. I've got obviously done it at home, otherwise I wouldn't have been here, and I've tested with the Lord, but it is important. And 1 Corinthians 14:29 says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. So whomever it is that speaks, let's always remember this key to discern and to weigh. And there's a big difference between a critical spirit, something of this age, being critical about everybody and judging necessarily, versus mature discernment. And sometimes, as Christians, we need to mature, make sure that we're not criticized per se, but that we mature and that we discern. And so I would love to call you along with me to constantly be on the road of discernment. So at home, I took the word, I'll share now what it is. It's very basic, but, and I just said to the intercessors, please pray about this. This is what I believe I heard of the Lord, message of God, prophecy in its rawest form. And then luckily, one of the elders' wives, Karin Voges, had a dream in the same week that the Lord shared this with me. And she had this beautiful dream, yet a bit of a scary dream, where she woke up and then she was like, this is the rapture. And she felt like next to her on the bed, if Petri, her husband, was still there. And she fell asleep again and she just dreamt again. And it was again Jesus returning and the rapture happening. And she woke up with the fear of God, but yet this massive excitement. So maybe just pause there. Anybody excited about Jesus returning? Yes. Anybody kind of unsure? Anybody? You don't have to put up your hand. Maybe that's a better. I'll call you forward and we do an altar call. No, but here's the thing is that it's a reality. I don't want to necessarily be the guy that speaks about the end times. Who likes to go to a braai? And somebody either speaks about the end times or some conspiracy theory and you're like, oh, nee, even die Owens. Well, rest assured, you don't have to discern today. I'm one of Ian van Dyke Owens. But I want to do it in the fear of the Lord because I love you and I love the Lord. And one day I don't want to stand before Him, having kept back on a word that maybe have been for the season such as this. So after that 13 intros, I was in intercession. Please do come to intercession prior to a church service. It's really where life happens. So I was in intercession at home. At our home church, just before one of our services. And as we were praying, it was at the beginning of April, I just saw in the Spirit a clear vision of the Ark of Noah, and then I heard the words of my Spirit, as in the days of Noah. So it was these two things that I heard. I saw the Ark, and then I just heard, as I saw it, almost instantaneously, as in the days of Noah. And you're like, this is intercession. This is what we do. And I pray. I pray into it. Pray that people will be safe. Lord, may they be in your ark, whatever that is. Lord, thank you that maybe these days are as the days of Noah. And I just prayed on. And then in the service, twice I sensed the Lord remind me of that. And I shared it in ministry time. But in those weeks, 2 weeks after that, it kind of stuck with me. And as I was preparing for last Sunday, I just realized that the Lord is saying, this is not just the intercessory word. This is something that I want you to just explore. And I want you guys, the discerners in the house, to explore this with me. These two things. If we see the ark in a visionary form in this day and age, what is it that the Holy Spirit might be saying to us? So firstly, you test, Lord, is this of your heart? Yes, I do have peace with it. And secondly, why these words, as in the days of Noah? Anybody, have you heard those words before? Yes, okay, we're going to get to that. So three things that's important. We're going to share on this, but first I want to just look at, if I talk about Noah, the ark, I want to look at it in context of the word, firstly, before we get all prophetic. Can we do that? So we're going to share it. We're just going to look at what the word says, remind ourselves, who knows the story of Noah? Everybody, we grew up with it. But shockingly so, somebody 2-3 years ago said about the Stellenbosch students. So you'll get in students that might be born again. They connect in Shofar in a local church. And all of a sudden you realize the young people do not know just the guys of the normal stories of the word. A Noah, a Abraham, a David, a Daniel. They don't know these stories. So sometimes we need to pause and remind ourselves, refresh, but also know for somebody else this might not be so normal. So we look at it biblically and then we going to try to decipher, because we see in part and understand in part. But yet we don't shy away from the prophetic, because it's a message of God that we receive in the fear of the Lord that blesses our life, that sets us up. And so we'll do that in the second part. Is that all right? The other thing I want to mention before we look at Noah is shofar. Whoever needs to tell somebody you go to a church called shofar, they mostly don't know what you're talking about. Shofar. And so, but here's the thing is, we shouldn't shy away from the fact that it's part of the call upon us. What is a shofar? Anybody? I heard it a couple of times today. But what is the shofar? What is it? It's a trumpet, it's a horn, it's a ram's horn. But let's look at it symbolically or prophetically, spiritually. What does it represent? Why are we called this interesting name with orange? It can be warning, yes. Yeah. It is mostly used and was used for a proclamation of seasons. A call to war. A call into a new season. A prophetic utterance of the Lord. It's not the only thing we do. But it is part of what we do. And so sometimes it was even used as a pitcher for oil. So they will put oil in there and then they will induct or they will anoint kings or priests. And so it's part of who we are. And I would just want to remind us of that. So sometimes the Lord will say, hey, this is the season. And please proclaim this. You don't have to be a mega church to have a mega voice in the Spirit. Amen? But let's just trust that it is God and that it's pure. And so that is also part of who we are. And then who's ever heard of the sons of Issachar? I'm throwing a couple of terms around here. But it's the Issacharites, they were one of the tribes of Israel. And they were the guys that knew the stars. So please hang with me here. They understood the celestial powers. They understood the times and they understood the stars. And so they could predict the times and seasons. Very much like you'll have on your iPhone now, having the date, time, etc. Those were the guys. They were the timekeepers of the day. But they would understand, not only understand, they would know the seasons. And by the grace of God, will know what to do. Why am I saying all of this? Because if God gives us a prophetic word that is a shofar-like word, like the sons of Issachar, but today in the New Testament, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, we need to say, Lord, is this you? Yes. Okay, great. Like they had the grace, we should hear the word and then what? Know what to do. Very simply so. Who would love wisdom in their life? That's exactly what prophecy should do. That is exactly what a word or a message of God should do. That we can not only hear, hey, it's raining or planting season. No, but that we would know how to act. So this is my heart today. You discern the word. You know that it might be a word of the God and you test it and then you say, Lord, not only do I hear and have peace, but okay, cool. Lord, what do we do? Holy Spirit in me, what do I do? Amen. Let's look at Noah. So Noah, we know the story, one of the most beautiful ones. My kids always wanted to read it because there are two animals going in. How brilliant is that? How weird is that? How scary is that? Maybe how smelly was that? I don't know. Lots of things. But it is a story that has gripped our hearts. And we often look back and we think, wow, that was pretty intense. But there were actual people living in actual times and only 8 of them made it out. It's a pretty intense story. Let's read Genesis 6, verse 5. When the Lord saw that man's wickedness was widespread on the earth and that every scheme of his mind thought of was nothing but evil all the time, the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. Then the Lord said, I will wipe off from the face of the earth mankind from whom I created, together with the animals, creatures that crawl, and the birds of the sky. For I regret that I made them. Noah, however, found favor. I think the New King James says grace, or the King James says grace. So Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. That's a word we need to remember today. So here comes the warning. These are the family records of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. Noah walked with God. And Noah fathered 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with wickedness. God saw how corrupt the earth was, for every creature had corrupted its way on the earth. Then God said to Noah, I've decided to put an end to every creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Therefore, I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher hood. And then God goes on into the details. Verse 17. Understand that I'm bringing a flood waters on the earth to destroy every creature under heaven. With a breath of life in it, everything on earth will die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. You are also to bring into the ark 2 of all the living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. And then verse 22. And Noah did this. He did everything, look here, obedient, that God had commanded him. So we know the story, and so we might even, when we read this or hear this, kind of switch off. Please don't. Just imagine yourself in that space. Just imagine the widespread wickedness, that all that man had think of or thought of at that time were wicked in the Lord's sight. Even God said, why did I make them? That's kind of a sad moment, right? And so we look at this, but yet there was this one man who found what? Grace. Grace with God. So let's jump into God's promise because we see 4 things. We see 4 things when we look at Noah. Firstly, he found favor and grace. Who would like favor and grace? Like, here's where you go, amen, preach it, brother. Yes. No, we all would like favor and grace. The second thing we read there is Noah was righteous. Then I saw he was blameless. Who of you are blameless? No, we're not. And he walked with God. So four very distinct things we read there in a time of darkness, in a time of widespread wickedness and evil. Here was this guy, and he had these four things. He had favor, righteousness, he was blameless, and he walked with God. Today we know, how can I have that? How can I have it? By Jesus Christ. Today we know, only by the grace of Jesus Christ can I find favor. Can I what? Be righteous. I can only be righteous by Christ. I'm a woeful sinner, messed up man without Jesus. I can only be blameless with Jesus, and I can only truly walk in that intimate relationship for which we're called for with Jesus. We'll look at Jesus again right now, because why we are just looking at the word of God and Noah, and why this word. So God blessed Noah and his sons thereafter, after that just over a year they spent in the ark, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, I give you now authority and dominion. Let's try this again. Please rule and rule well, will you? And he gave them a new covenant. He gave them the covenant of Noah. What else happened just after they have left the ark? What privilege did they all of a sudden get that they didn't have before? They got to Braai, hallelujah. We might as well just end it right here. They got to Braai. Somebody at home in church last week said they could have wine. I'm like, no, not that, brother. The other part of the Braai. So for the first time, God said, now you can also eat of all the animals. Not the live blood in them. That is sin. So it depends on how you eat your steak. You need to be careful. But here's the thing. From now on, you can Braai. What a good day. And so he gave them a covenant, and he put God's bow in the sky. What was that? Rainbow, yes. By the way, if you ever question what the rainbow stands for and what the rainbow is, there is what the rainbow is for. Amen? Can we just leave it there? All right. That's the rainbow, the covenant of God, that he will not flood the earth again. Let's jump into the next one. Now, in the New Covenant dispensation, looking at Noah and looking at his story, we know that there's two things we want to do. We want to find out what does it mean just looking at the scripture, and then we want to ask the Holy Spirit, please come and show us what this word might mean to me in this season, and what do I need to do? Because we don't come to church just to hear sermons. We come here so that the Lord can disciple us, change our lives, that he can come and form his son in us, and that formation of his son in us can actually impact our world, right? It needs to impact my eldest who's just gone to high school. It needs to impact my marriage that is not always easy or plain sailing. It needs to impact my neighbors because Christ actually lives in me. That's why we do, and that's why we do what we do and why we're here. So when we are in the New Covenant dispensation, we look at Leviticus or Numbers or these Old Testament books, and you don't remember where we are at, and you don't remember that Christ has come. He has risen from the grave. He has given us his spirit. You might get confused about the character of God, right? Anybody ever read the Old Testament thinking, who is this Lord? Who is this God? So, wie is hier die mens? It's immense. But it's like, whoa. But we put on the lens of the New Covenant grace. And then we step back and then we read Scripture by looking at the whole of Scripture. It's not easy, but the Spirit is there to help us. So even looking at Noah and all of those infighting and the stuff that happened in the Old Testament and how people got slaughtered and killed, you're like, whoa, Lord, this is heavy. You need to say, Christ, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to see perspective in this and help me to understand. So what I want to do is just quickly look at Noah's story. This pretty intense story that we know by now is accurate and has historically been proven. I want to look at, where do I see Jesus in that story? Do you think we can see Jesus in the story of Noah and his ark? Great. Because this is not only for us to be safe. Because there's a whole valley of people that you want to tell about the ark, so to speak. That you would love to be on the boat if there was a storm, right? And we want the Lord to help us and grip our hearts for that. So I just quickly threw a couple of thoughts together. There's a table there with eight things. So firstly, you have the ark, which was a place, a physical place of safety for eight people. But spiritually, we see on the other end, now we have Jesus today, and spiritually, in Him, we become safe. You are safe. And I want to say to those getting baptized, those that are believers and are going to get baptized, you are safe in Christ. I want to just affirm that. The enemy would love to come with his lies and deception and question marks. People might question things, inspired by the enemy, but you are safe in Christ. You're not safe in fear. You're not safe in control. You're safe in Christ. Second thing is, there was sufficiency in, now I'm not a technical expert, I'm not too good with my hands, that's why God graced me to ask an electrician or ask a plumber or ask a handy person to please help me. I once tried to fix a water pipe. To save money, and so what would have should have been a half an hour job turned out to be 4 days without water and a massive bill after that. So I stick to this. But there was sufficiency. So those that are technically astute have seen what the Lord had planned through the ark. But the ark in dimensions was perfect. Even in the way it was shaped, it was perfect for everything to fit in. Yes, it might have been a bit cramped, I'm sure. But it was sufficient for them to be saved. It was perfect, made by God's heart given unto Noah. And hence now the spiritual truth here is, I want to tell you, Jesus is sufficient. Jesus Christ, in dimensions, if I may say so, in His Lordship, being Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the way, the truth, and the life. I want to say to you, Jesus is enough. He's more than enough. You know that. Because in Him we live, move, and have our being. In Him we live, move, and have our being. The third thing, they got saved. That's pretty obvious to us. We're glad we're not in that season. I would have loved to be part of the eight. But they got saved. Practically, physically, their lives were saved. And likewise, in Jesus we find salvation spiritually. We get saved, born again, and we're going to live for eternity. We see that there was enough survival sustenance. In other words, there was enough food. Go read again through the story. God told Noah, put some food in there and keep it there so that you guys can live there for a year and a bit. But I want to get to the spiritual side. And here's the thing. Who is the bread of life? Jesus. So being safe, being in Him, being in His ark, so to speak, He is my sustenance. He is my food. He is the bread of life. That is why you're here today. Not to hear a man, but to hopefully receive fresh bread, fresh manna, a little piece of Jesus that will what? Not only sustain you for today, but that will set you up for this week. So that tomorrow you in your quiet time can again say, Lord, I need fresh bread. I need fresh Christ. So He is definitely the bread of life. Let's quickly move on. Derek did an awesome job about the water. And you'll see now, I believe, the evil was drowned in that day by what? Lots and lots of water. The flood. But I believe that baptism in the New Covenant dispensation shows us again that the authority of evil in our lives gets what? Gets broken. Gets broken when we get baptized. So we see that beautiful picture of how God saved through the ark, that through baptism, as I become one with Jesus, die with Him, so to speak, if I'm raised with Him again, then the authority attached to the chaos and evil in my life gets broken. So maybe just a testimony of my life. I got saved right at the end of my studies in Stellenbosch. I was way off, totally off the rails, totally broken and messed up. And so I got saved. And then constantly, I think it was Matthew 3, I would think, I need to read Matthew 3. And I read it. And I read it for weeks on end. And all of a sudden, I realized, because it was about the baptism of Jesus, I for the first time thought, maybe God is speaking to me. And I phoned my then friend, who became my later girlfriend, who is my now wife. I phoned her up and I'm saying, it's like the only thing I hear from the Lord is Matthew 3 the whole time. I think I just realized He wants me to get baptized. She's like, I've been praying for that for the last couple of weeks. Exactly. But the thing is, God spoke to me. Maybe he's speaking to you today. Never mind the clothes. Never mind the tie. Get in. Maybe he's speaking to you, but he needs to speak to you to be obedient to the word. But here's the actual thing is, there's sin and stuff that I struggled with that after baptism I could really face in a much stronger and better way. Why? Because the authority that once ruled my fleshly members, I believe, got put in its place through baptism. I didn't get saved through baptism, you hear me, but the authority around the battles of my life changed, and that I can testify. I can tell you the details as well, but maybe not here today. But certainly it did change, and so I want to put out my faith for those getting baptized. It will be exactly the same. So, brings us to the dove. The dove went out, came back, nothing. Went out, sent by Noah, came back with a leaf, with a small branch. And so they knew, oh, we're almost done. So it brought forth tiding of a new season. I believe the Holy Spirit called us to tiding and to the realization of a new season after Christ had descended again. Not only that, but I believe the dove and the message of the dove for Noah brought back peace. Ons gaan nie uitkom. Ons gaan dit maak, sister. Likewise, once we receive the Spirit, peace returns to the inner man. Peace restored. Not only that, he becomes the arabon. He becomes the ring, the engagement ring, whereby we now know we belong. I've got evidence. Charaba shandaraba. Got evidence. I'm wearing my ring. I'm getting betrothed. I'm going to be at the marriage feast of the Lamb one day. I'm going to be there. I'm part of it. I've got the ring. And so that encourages me when the days are dark and wicked and lawless. I'm engaged. Let me keep my heart pure. Let me keep myself for my Lord as part of the bride. And then Noah's name meant rest and comfort. The ark was a place of rest and comfort. And maybe today you're sitting here and saying, man, I need some Noah. In Jesus, you'll have your real Noah. Rest and comfort. In this world you will suffer, but take heart. He has overcome. The overcoming Christ lives inside of us. And lastly, we know that this all was possible for Noah through grace. And in Christ Jesus, we can only have this through grace, not our own works. So that's if we look at Scripture. Before we get all prophetic, that's if we just look at Scripture. So there's enough meat for all of us. Saying, Lord, I want that ark. Lord, I want that in Jesus. I want to be found in Christ. Because as in the days of Noah. So what characterized those days? It's clear. There was apostasy. There was lawlessness. Ungodly philosophies. There was a demokarspel. Brokenness and obviously lots of destruction because of sin. Now, may we quickly take a real honest look at our world. Please, 3-4 words. What do you see in our world at the moment? Evil, yes? We're not judging now, by the way. We're not being all holier than thou, churchy people. No, we're just being honest. Let's quickly have a look at what we see in culture. Evil, yes, what else? Greed, destruction, lawlessness. Yes, we can put it on twice, I think, yes. Corruption, pride, poverty, brokenness, rebellion. That's a good one. Sadness. What is supposedly good has become bad, and what is supposedly bad has become good. My own words to Scripture. And so, can we say to ourselves without losing hope that we might be finding ourselves again in the times of Noah? If you look at social media and if you look at the insanity that is out there and the theologies and the indoctrinating things that people do believe these days, then we might be saying to each other that Genesis 6:5 is pretty close to what we see out there in a non-judgmental, very humble way. Amen? When the Lord saw that man's wickedness was widespread on the earth and that every scheme his mind thought of was nothing but evil all the time. And guess what? And I can put my name in there firstly. If it was not for Jesus Christ, that's me. So let us not fool each other. But I believe there's a lot of wickedness and evil in our world. And once you think, man, I've heard it all, it cannot get any more crazy than this. You hear something or you read something that you're like, God, how is this even possible? This is straight from the pit of hell. I don't want to even mention those things here. But I think we've made the point pretty clear. We are in dark times, yet Jesus. Yet the ark, so to speak, of the Lord. My question is very simply to you now. Are you in Jesus? Are you in the ark? Are you in Jesus and are you walking in obedience to the call upon your life? It's not a hard word, but it might be a sobering one. About taking responsibility as we heard earlier. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Because I believe this word, as in the days of Noah, might be just a subtle warning to say, hey church, make sure that you're found in Christ. These are stormy times. May we be found in Him. And let's quickly look at the second one. We looked at Scripture. We've seen Jesus there. It makes sense to us. And we can walk out of here thinking, whoa, we just need to make sure we be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus, help me. Because it's through love. It's not through compulsion and law and a hard word per se, but it's through the Spirit that works in us. Jesus, I want to love you more and I want to be found in you because this life is pretty short. Going to the prophetic side of what I believe the Lord is saying to me and to the church, as in the days of Noah, is actually words in the Word. Now, at first when I read that or heard that in my spirit and prayed that, I didn't remember that. But the moment I went home and I looked it up, I realized as in the days of Noah was actually words uttered by Jesus. Who knew that? Hallelujah. It is words that was uttered by Jesus. So who would love to hear those words? Through Scripture. Because I believe it's a key for us. Matthew 24 verse 37 says the following. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be the coming of the Son of Man. Who of you guys know when Jesus is coming? Who of you realize that it might be very soon? Who of you hear clearly that I'm not putting a date or a time on that because otherwise you chase me out of here? Amen? Because that's false. Only God knows. But He is loving and caring, saying, hey guys, I want to remind you, are you ready? For we are as in the times of Noah. Be found in Christ. Be found in Christ. Live ready. Not live for 60, 70, or 80. Not live for next season. Live ready. And this just gripped my heart. When I read that, I had that moment. You're like, oh, God. I had that moment. I had to have this conversation with my kids. Not in a fearful way. Because as that dream that my friend at church had, there's an excitement that Christ is coming back. Hosanna. If I had one sentence, you told me, you can preach the sermon, but you only have one sentence. This is the whole sermon. If you get anything, remember one thing, you remember this. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. It goes on to say the following. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. By the way, these things are not wrong per se. They were just doing life. People were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Up to the day Noah entered the ark. So they saw this guy building this big boat thinking, what the? Went on with life. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. That is exactly. Life will happen. People will go on as if nothing is happening and yet Christ will return. Here's the beauty that the Lord says that He shares His secret with His friends. Do you want to be a friend of Jesus? I think if we want to understand the times and seasons, and again, we're not saying tomorrow, but it might be. We're not saying next week, but it might be. I want to be a friend of Christ. So if the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, these are times as in the days of Noah, I'm like, listen up. If you have ears to hear, yeah. Not fear. Not fear, yeah. There's a difference. There's an excitement brewing. So how do we get in Scripture to this place? Let's rewind a bit. The earlier parts of Matthew 24 sets it up beautifully. The disciples asks Him, when are you coming back? When is the end of this age? Like we might say, getting in the car and saying, Jesus, when is this all going to end? How is it going to end? As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Maybe not something that we think of often, but something worthwhile giving a thought. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Any of that of late? been like that for 2,000 years, to be honest. But anyway, rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains. Then you will be handed over and be persecuted and put to death. Sounds like fun. Pretty real. Remember, we are pilgrims, guys. We live for eternity. This is a beautiful place and it's a nice home. But this is not home. This is not our final home. Hallelujah. Let's take heart. Then you will be handed over and persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. Many will turn away from the faith. And you might start thinking of people now. Pray for them. And will betray and hate each other. The other translation says, get offended with other. Ever seen Christians getting offended with each other? Really? Even here? Wow. You see, end times. Days of Noah. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase, and here, the word that came up earlier, listen close. Because of the increase of wickedness, that word also means lawlessness, the love of most will grow cold. I want to say, church, if anything, don't let your love grow cold. Be careful of wickedness and lawlessness. Don't fear it. Just say, more of you, Jesus. There's more of you, Jesus. There's more of you, Jesus, that the love will burn inside of me. And then verse 13, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I want to implore you, I want to exhort you, I want to pray for you, I want to prophesy over you, that you will stand firm to the end. Stand firm. Stand firm to the end. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. You'll see there later on in Matthew, it also says that Jesus will come and it will be a bit of a surprise. Just as Noah built this boat, what a weird guy. All of a sudden the rain came, the flood came, and the season changed. Likewise, when the Son of Man comes, it will look like the days of Noah. It will be suddenly. He will come and people will not expect it. Yet we carry the Spirit of God. We carry the grace. We are in the safe place called Jesus Christ by faith. But we need to live there. And you don't only live there. Here's the thing. You have the privilege to share that with others. If that boat had more space, I'm sure Noah would have said, Lord, if somebody would repent and turn, please, may they jump. May they have a space in this boat. How much space is there not for those that need it here in the valley in Christ Jesus? Do I really live as if he might be coming back tomorrow? The old cliche question, if Jesus came back tomorrow, how would that change today? How would you live differently? I won't worry too much about Bitcoin or how far the Stormers did win last night or what we're going to buy in 2 weeks' time. No, there's a couple of things I will not worry about, but there's a couple of individuals that will seriously be phoning if I knew Jesus is returning. As in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. You know, prophecy is not here to scare anybody. But if a word of the Lord, it is here to warn in love. Say, hey guys, are we awake to this reality? 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. My exhortation is, church, are we ready? And do we live ready? Are we ready and do we live ready? Well, the thing is, this loving warning is clearly seen through Scripture. And if we hear these words, as in the days of Noah, two things is important. I believe the evil and destruction and lawlessness, even though we don't camp there, we don't try to overcomplicate and dissect that, we can honestly say to each other, what we hear and what we see is very much like what it was like in the time of Noah. That's the one thing. And then the second thing, that is very clear. As the days of Noah, they had no idea what was coming. And likewise, the world will just be going on his merry way, and Jesus will actually return. And it might be in our lifetime. It might be in our lifetime. And so, even though we've got these short spaces of time in our life, May we really live ready? And here's the question. Here's just a very simple question. Are you living ready? Are you living ready? Just imagine, because it's not going to be, you know, Scripture says, it's not going to be out in the desert. No, it's not going to be in America. It's not going to be in Hartenbos. No, everybody will know when he returns. And I think it will be a holy, glorious, but also a pretty godly, scary sight. And I want to be ready, and I want those that I love to truly be ready. So what is it that I can do from my side? How can I align myself with that? To say daily, I want to live with you, Jesus, and I want to live for you. What do we see as a key here in Scripture that might be the thing that lures people away from the faith, away from this reality? It's called evil, wickedness, or lawlessness. It's the spirit of this age. And do we fear that? No, we just say, Lord, pull me into your word. Lord, pull me into living by your spirit. Lord, pull me into godly community. Lord, I want a couple of fruit-bearing believers around me. Say, hey, Retief, stop that. If something's skew in my life. We had an awkward moment this morning where we were driving here, roads open, thought I saw no car, and in my blind spot there was a car. By God's grace, nothing happened, but it was pretty close. We need the Lord. We need the grace of God to say, hey, as we're driving through life, Lord, help me with my blind spots. I want to live in humility. I want to live ready, but I want to live boldly for Jesus. Do I still have that why that is burning in my heart? For he is returning. He is returning for a pure and spotless bride. I'm just saying, Lord, I want to be in. I want my kids and my wife and those I love to be in, and many, many more. Three things that we need to do. We need to be found in Jesus' relationship. Who remembers the oil lamps? Can't share on that now, but have your oil lamp filled up when the groom is coming back. Secondly, be ready for his coming. And live like that. You know that by now. And thirdly, as we've said, if you know about this ark, if you know about this safe space that can save somebody for eternity, if you honestly, truly believe that and live that, why not share that? Why not share that? Church, will you join me in sharing that with others? Or are we going to walk out of church saying, well, yeah, liefie, wat gaan ons eet? And go on with life. Marrying and getting married, eating and drinking, going our merry way. Well, are we going to know? These are as the times of Noah, and we need to live ready, not in fear, but boldly as sons and daughters of God. Because the birth pangs, I believe, is really there. And the earth is longing for the sons and daughters to stand up and say, hey, we know this ark. We know this guy. He's called the Way, Truth, and Life. And he's changed me in every single way. Do you want to meet him? You want to meet him? Will you stand with me? We're going to pray and minister into this for a brief moment. If somebody wants to be on keys or guitar, they're more than welcome. If you don't do that here, that's also good. Bye, donkey. Lord, we thank you for time in your presence, time in your house. We thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that as believers, you've granted us all the grace to discern, Lord, your heart and what your will is. So even in this time, Lord, that we'll discern what is the season that we're in and what you have for us on your heart. Thank you, you're a loving Father, but you're a holy God, a consuming fire. Thank you, Jesus, you are a lamb, spotless, pure lamb, yet you are the lion. And so, Lord, I don't know what every heart needs in this place, but I pray that through your Spirit, that those that need to have a wake-up roar, receive a wake-up roar in time. Those that need the comfort like a lamb, that they will receive the comfort. Those of us that need a realignment of our life to be ready and to be found in Christ, Lord, that you will do that. And those that just need to be encouraged to go on as they are going on, that you will do that in Jesus' name. Just with all eyes closed, I'm not going to call you forward, but I'm just going to maybe flight one or two things in ministry just so that we can have a moment of conviction. Please, if you don't want to do this, you don't. But the first thing is just if you want for certain to know that you're found in Jesus, in the ark, so to speak, and you just want to recommit and say, Lord, I want to be found in Jesus. If you return tomorrow or in 3 weeks' time or in 30 years or even 300 years, Lord, I want to be found in Christ. If that's you, just raise your hand. I just want to pray with you. just to have the assurance that I am in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for these hands, Father God, that there will be a reassurance, and it's only the Holy Spirit in us that can testify, Abba, Father, I belong. I am in Him. I don't have to go and try to do this and deserve this. It is through grace and faith, not a once-off. It is a daily walk. It is a working out. But thank you that the Holy Spirit is testifying, I'm Christ. I'm in that ark, in that safe place. I thank you for these hands, and I pray that your Spirit will speak to them and minister to their lives. In Jesus' name. And the second thing, we know clearly that these are the days like the days of Noah, full of lawlessness. And if you just want to say, Lord, I want to be unblemished, unstained by the lawlessness of this land. It might be skipping a stop street or pornography or gambling on the side or maybe just the critical way of speaking death over situations. Whatever it is that the enemy might have tried to feed us, let's just trust the Holy Spirit to rid us of lawlessness. I know my Achilles. I know my blind spots and I'm accountable about them. We all do have this. But if you just want to say, Lord, afresh, strip me from lawlessness so that my heart will stay soft and my love in my heart will stay warm for you. I will stand firm to the end. If that is you, to be stripped from any lawlessness, just raise your hand. We just want to say, Lord, we recommit and lay it before you. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all these hands. Here's the beautiful truth of the new covenant gospel power. We cannot fix ourselves. Hallelujah. We cannot fix ourselves. Hallelujah. But we can just say, Lord, we acknowledge sometimes lawlessness comes for me through the flesh and demonic influence and culture. The evil do come from our heart. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. Willing Spirit, will you help me to walk the road of Jesus? Willing Spirit, will you strengthen me to stand firm to the end? Willing Spirit, will you help me to repent often? Dig into the Word often. Pray often. Walk in the light so that I may stand firm to the end and that I may be saved. Thank you, Lord, that you help all of us with that. And then lastly, Lord, we know about you. We know about your salvation. We know about the ark, so to speak. We don't know exactly when you're coming back, but you are coming back. We are longing for that day, Hosanna, that glorious day. But will you come and grab hold of our hearts again to share this? If we truly believe this, will you grant us the grace to share that? If you just want to say, Lord, help me to share the gospel power, to share salvation, to share Jesus with other people, just raise your hand and we're going to close there. So thank you, Lord, for these workers in the harvest field. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Thank you for commitment. And again, thank you, God, that you draw all men to Christ. You bring them to salvation, but here we are, agents, children, saying, use us. We know about this. We know about this reality. And we want you, Lord, to save those around us and those in our community. So have your way through our lives, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.